The so-called smart gun is a weapon that cannot be fired except by the owner of the gun. This week, members of Congress looked at some of the smart guns being developed by manufacturers and heard from scientists who've tested smart gun technologies for the Justice Department. Douglas Weiss is the author of a report on smart gun technology commissioned by the Department of Justice's research wing. First of all, Mr. Weiss, would you explain what the Justice Department's interest in smart guns is?
The Justice Department recognized that there is a problem with police officers losing their own service weapons and then having those firearms turned against them. There's up to 19 officers a year killed with their own service weapons. A typical situation for a police officer is to be arresting a suspect, and that suspect decides that they want to flee the situation. And if that suspect doesn't already have a firearm, they know that the police officer does. And they'll attempt to get that firearm, a struggle will ensue, and then it's whoever wins the battle.
Give us an example of how smart gun technology works. Give us a couple of examples of some of the ones you looked at.
Some of the technologies that we looked at were fingerprints, voice recognition, touch memories, radio frequency tags, and miscellaneous other technologies.
What worked best?
When we ranked everything against their ideal, the highest grade of any technology was a B, and those came out to the radio frequency type devices. The radio frequency technology can work in many ways. It's very similar to what you see in clothing stores, the little small devices attached to expensive leather jackets, so when you walk out the door, the alarms will sound. The same principle applies to a firearm. To have an RF device attached to an officer means that a code can be sent from that device, which represents the officer, to the gun. That unique signal sent via radio frequency waves can be recognized by the gun and then either enable the gun or not enable the gun.
I thought that I read in your report that one of the problems with that was that an officer struggling for a gun in close proximity, you know, in a sort of hand-to-hand, that the gun might still work if in someone else's hand if that person was close enough.
There's a concern with radio frequency technologies, if they are not implemented correctly, that the range may be too long. That means that the gun and the passive tag could correspond or talk to each other from too great a distance. When we did our evaluations, each of the technologies had strong points and weak points. The radio frequency tags are good because they work over some distance and through many substances, like dirt or blood, which could be on an officer's hands. We have other technologies which, such as a touch memory, if you're not in intimate contact with the gun, then they would not work. But at the same time, the radio frequency is good because of the being able to transmit through substances. The touch memory is good because immediately when the officer loses touch with his gun, it no longer operates.
I liked the idea of the voice recognition, that the gun knew its owner when the owner would speak to it and essentially tell it to fire.
Voice recognition is a technology that's come a long ways, but it still has a long ways to go before it's reliable. One of the main concerns with recognizing a person's voice is that the voice changes over time, even short times, and that may be due to a cold or just any excitement that the officer may have. And from talking to officers, they get very excited when they are in a heated situation with a gun pointing at them. So voice and fluctuations, changing in accents, can all affect the officer being recognized, and that hurts the reliability.
Do you think that that smart gun technology, even though it adds considerably to the cost of a weapon, is going to be something that people are going to want?
The concept of smart gun technologies have been around since the 1800s. There were child safety devices built into guns way back in the 1800s. There were marketed devices that the public could buy in the 1970s. And even now today, you can buy various types of locks for guns. And none of these devices in the past have quite caught on. And we need to recognize the reasons why they have not caught on and make sure that we don't make the same mistake again now. It's too costly to add something to a police officer's or anyone's gun that could cost them their life because their gun did not function when it needed to.
Douglas Weiss, he is the author of the Smart Gun Technology Project final report. The Justice Department commissioned that report from the Sandia National Laboratories. Mr. Weiss spoke to us from radio station KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico.